Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the What Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by James Dowes.
Hi, Scott Telford.
And only James Dowes, because we are the Nintendo experts. Don't know if you know, but I am declaring that me and you know more about Nintendo than anyone else on staff. So we thought we'd do a bit of a state of Nintendo check-in on where they're at in 2022, because there's not that many, you know, big old head-turning releases. And we're going to run down a bunch of different categories from, you know, their approach to backwards compatibility, the Nintendo Switch Online offering, the likes of Breath of the Wild 2, the next Mario, and the rest of the games that they've got for 2022 in general. However, I'm going to pose to you an open question. What do you think on the state of Nintendo in 2022? Are you happy?
I started playing it again recently to play Majora's Mask, as I've been telling you, on the somewhat average service of Nintendo Switch Online.
Didn't you? What were your words? I think you used an expletive in regards to Majora's Mask. I could be wrong.
Oh, it's... I don't want to offend the audience. It is not a good... In my opinion... Don't shout at me. It's not the best game in the world. I understand its cult following. I get it. Mm-hmm. It is a cool, atmospheric, eerie game. Mm-hmm. But good Lord, it plays like a dog turd.
I think they should have, like, because they obviously remade / remastered whatever Ocarina and Majora's Mask on the 3DS. I kind of wish they were on the Nintendo Switch Online offering, and we can talk about that stuff as well. Because for me, it's been interesting watching them attempt to compete with Game Pass or with PlayStation Now, and what is going to be the PlayStation premium stuff that Sony are about to do. Because Nintendo just sort of went, well, we're going to have an extra tier, and you're going to give us extra money a month, and it's going to be for NES and SNES games, which is cool. That was a great opening salvo. And then they've added on the Animal Crossing DLC, and now they've added on Splatoon 2's Octopath expansion stuff. What the hell they call that thing? Octo Traveler? That one, yeah, the single player thing, which is really good DLC, to be honest. But it feels like they've sort of bolstered that stuff out to try and, you know, just be like, no, we can compete, guys. It is a worthwhile package. It's nowhere near Game Pass.
Exactly.
Or anything like that. But yeah, what were you going to say about, like, being able to access old stuff?
Right. So just going back to what you just said then, Splatoon 2's DLC is on there. So we're upcoming to Splatoon 3. Mm-hmm. So now, as somebody who doesn't own Splatoon 2, I've got the DLC for £70 a year to rent. I don't even own the game, but I've got the DLC.
I guess they're just trying to encourage you to go pick... I mean, I love Splatoon 2. That was one of my favourite games on the Switch.
But why would you buy it now when the third one's about to come out?
Well, yeah, I guess it's just trying to incentivize you, to remind you of the legacy of Splatoon. But yeah, overall, I think that for me, the Switch was always a really good little indie machine. It was always the thing that I was buying all the smaller games on. And I feel like last year, towards the tail end of the year, there was a lot of stuff that was coming out on PC that just wasn't on Switch. Like, usually you would get the simultaneous release, or there'd be a few months later. But something like Inscription, or like right now, like, people are talking about Rogue Legacy 2, and it's like, obviously some of those games are in early access or earlier access, and they're not on Switch yet. But I feel like I've not been using my Switch as an indie machine as much this year as I usually would. And I think so much of, like, anything to do with releases is just going to be down to COVID stuff. But at the same time, I feel like the Switch is kind of on the back foot with the amount of games that came out this year across Xbox and PlayStation. The Switch only really had Pokemon Arceus. I'm a huge fan of Kirby. I think that is one of the games of the year, but it definitely didn't turn wider heads. It wasn't like wasn't a Horizon. It certainly wasn't an Elden Ring. And I feel like Nintendo, when they're on form, and it was kind of the energy that they had at the beginning of the generation, or the Switch's generation, where Breath of the Wild was turning heads, where Mario Odyssey was turning heads, even Splatoon, I feel like, had a massive, like, viral following kind of thing. Uh-huh. So where are you at on their game releases? Because, like, Nintendo Switch Sports has just dropped as well, which should be a seismic thing, but I feel like hardly anybody's talking about it, other than all the broken TVs that come with it.
See, I was saying to you before, like, how I played the beta for that game, what, last year? It might have even been this year. Yeah. I have no idea.
Time's a flat circle, James.
Whenever it was. but I felt like I played that game during the beta, and then I'm just like, why would I want to play bowling now? I've already played bowling.
Because do you think they played it too safe?
Yes, like, absolutely. Yeah. How come... Wii Sports had 5 games. Mm-hmm. Wii Sports Resort had, what, 12 games? Mm-hmm. But now we're back to 6. So why have we gone backwards? The best value for money, Scott Telford, is 51 All-Star Classic mini games. What we played on the train the other day. Mancala is the game.
Mancala is the game that Switch Sports wishes it could be. It's that's the thing. Like, in terms of, like, that's for me, that's what I wanted from a follow-up to Wii Sports was more stuff. And when I looked at, because that's the one like major Switch game that I just haven't bought yet. And I might do, but it was just like watching the reviews and watching the footage for Switch Sports. It didn't feel like an evolution of what came before. It just felt like they were playing it safe. And I wonder if, because we can talk about what they're doing with Mario Kart, which is interesting. And it makes sense business-wise to do DLC rollouts for Mario Kart because it has astronomical sales numbers. It's like GTA 5 sized numbers. Like, it's been in the top 10 sales since launch, pretty much. Yeah. So it's like, it makes more sense to supplant that audience with a DLC pack versus, you know, trying to get everybody across for Mario Kart 9. But that's interesting in itself that they sort of almost admitted that they don't need to do a sequel. Like, Mario Kart 8 just is the Mario Kart platform and you can just plug stuff into it. And I wonder if that's what they're going to do with Switch Sports, where they just go like, well, these are the 6 sports that you get initially, but we're going to do more stuff for the next few years.
So every Nintendo Direct, you'll see a Mario Kart, what the new tracks are going to be, and also the next sport.
Well, it was like, considering the Mario Kart, the DLC is like a year and a half's worth of DLC.
Yeah, until like, December 2023.
I don't think that many companies have ever announced that far ahead. Like,
I guess Smash Brothers.
Yeah, kind of Smash Brothers, but like, I guess in terms of specifics and stuff. Like, but yeah, I guess where are you at in terms of that overall with those things?
Isn't it interesting how Smash Brothers managed to get such an audience for, what was it, like 3 years they supported that game after launch? Whereas now they need Mario Kart and potentially, if we're what talking about is right, Switch Sports as well, to be able to capture that once every 3 months release of a new character or a new sport or a new track or whatever. I don't know. I wanted Mario Kart 9, but I'm happy, even though the tracks don't look the best, but that's neither here nor there.
Because I think it's interesting where they're at, because we can zero in, like, obviously the other big games that they have coming out that have been delayed, like Breath of the Wild 2. But it's interesting even with with Breath of the Wild 2, because it's a sequel to a Zelda, something they've not done since Majora's Mask. Other than, I guess, if you go down the portable route, like you have the...
Spirit Tracks.
Yeah, Spirit Track stuff. So it's like they've done similar things, but in terms of a big console Zelda, as far as I know, they've not done a sequel like this since Majora's Mask. No. And so I think that's because Breath of the Wild took off so much, but I know some of the naysayers for Breath of the Wild were like, oh, it's more like a tech demo, it is more of a series of ideas. I'm not one of them. I love Breath of the Wild, but I get the side of it that's like, this is a whole bunch of new ideas that could be refined better. The dungeons could be a hell of a lot better. You know, you could implement the way that the shrine puzzles work, and because all the quote-unquote dungeons in Breath of the Wild are like the same thing. Like, go find the arrows, go find the markers to interact with. But yeah, like, what do you think of the overall, I guess, state of the way they're approaching these games?
See, that's why I'm currently playing Majora's Mask, because I feel like Breath of the Wild 2 will be Majora's Mask 2 kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it will just be Ocarina of Time was a lovely game. Breath of the Wild was a beautiful game. And then they had the nasty, evil, eerie sequel. I won't be surprised if that is the kind of vibe they're going for. But no, I'm excited for Breath of the Wild 2. I hope it does, as you say there, like, reinvent the wheel again. Will it? After Elden Ring.
I'm curious about with Breath of the Wild 2, because they've shown so little of it and they keep pushing it back. And I think that's because they want to surprise people with the amount of ideas that are in there. And obviously no one really expected that Breath of the Wild 1 would have all the elemental stuff, that you'd be able to cut a tree down and get a leaf and then waft yourself across a lake whilst riding a log or something. Like, those things were really, really cool. And they came sort of organically from that game. Like, there's still things you missed in Breath of the Wild videos being made now. And I hope that they can deliver that twice. But overall, it's an interesting state that they're in, because they're experimenting with almost live service approaches, like with Mario Kart. They've got the Nintendo Switch Online stuff, which is, it works if you're a hardcore Nintendo fan.
£70 a year.
It's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
Like, any premium price point for what are base emulations of those games. Like, some of their frame rates have been touched up, but like, there's very little there, really.
Until Game Boy Advance comes out, I can't see it being justifiable. I don't know why I've got it. Other than Majora's Mask at this point. But like, Game Boy and Game Boy Advance will be more for your money. But why would the people who subscribed at first be able to justify paying £70 when the people who subscribe later get more for that £70?
Well, that's always been the Nintendo way of being. Like, everyone who dives in early is always going to pay a premium price.
Yeah.
But I mean, like with the DLC packs and stuff, it's like, yeah, what do they add to that service to make it even remotely close to Game Pass? Like for me, it would be the virtual console stuff.
Yeah.
Because there was something I was looking at the other day, and it's probably a Sonic game, to be honest, with the sickness in my head. There was something that was on the virtual console that was only on the original Wii and on the virtual console, and it went away. And it's like that virtual console library is still on the Wii. I think it's still active right now. They've not taken it down. But overall, like, it's not like you're paying a premium price to access everything that was ever on a Nintendo console, which is, I think, the pie in the sky idea of what PlayStation seemed to be kind of going towards. Like, is that what would make it more worthwhile to you?
Absolutely, yes. It's the fact that they've not even got half of the games from, like, for example, on the Super Nintendo, Mario RPG's not on there yet.
No.
There's so many games that just aren't there. But why?
I'm paying so much Mario money. RPG's, what? Like, on the tiny mini SNES.
Yes.
So it's like, you've got the file.
Yeah, they
lads.
Just can't be bothered. But same with Nintendo 64, the way they've drip-fed that out. I cannot speak to drip-fed that since October it came out, and there's, what, like 10 games on there? Mm-hmm. And I've paid so much money towards nothing.
Well, cause that's the whole thing with... I always wonder if they kind of do a Sony and see what they can get away with and then refine it down afterwards. Because this was kind of... they know that they have one of the most like respected and beloved archives of titles in gaming history. Yep. And it's like, whatever price tag you put on that, there's always going to be some portion of players that go for it. And I feel like the things that we've seen that I mentioned earlier, like they've tried to bolster their monthly amount by going, oh, but you also get this and you also get this. Because they're trying to... I think the general feedback has been, this isn't worth the money, and we need to be better with it. And obviously, yeah, when you mentioned Game Boy stuff, that there was some patent that was filed that popped up that showed that Game Boy stuff is coming to the Switch Online, but we don't know when. Assuming it'll be some big summer thing. But like, that's the thing that they have to reckon with, because if they suddenly make a monthly service that has everything on it, you can't then remonetize it. Like, you can't put the price up for it. Well, you could, but it would look a bit weird. Yeah. Do you think they're waiting on pulling the trigger on just, you know, a virtual console adjacent thing?
Oh, God. Well, the fact that the trailer for the latest, when they added the Splatoon DLC, the trailer for that got like 10,000 dislikes within an hour.
Right.
Like, it's just not like, nobody likes it. Mm. But like, here's this thing. With the Wii U, because that failed, they put everything on that service. You could get the Game Boy games. You could get DS games. Mm-hmm. You could get Wii. You could get everything on that system. Mm-hmm. And because Switch is doing well, they're just not doing it because it's just like, well, we can just do it one day.
But do you think that's like, do you think they're having all those conversations with, obviously a lot of it's first party stuff, so it's just internal, but are they just thinking, how many ways can we monetize this? Because that catalog, you can argue there, they did it, they were too good to us with the Wii, but then obviously no one had access to it on the Wii U, sorry. And then now it's like people are clamming for like, you know, give me access to old school archives of content. And they're like, well, we will, but we'll, like you said, drip feed it to you. Yeah, one day. N64, one of the most beloved libraries in gaming history, but obviously they need to do a lot of third-party deals to make a lot of that stuff.
Do you reckon
work?
That's why it was 70 quid just for Rare to give them Banjo?
God. Maybe. I mean, the thing, like, all the stuff with Rare is that they have the Xbox remake thing coming, in theory. And I wonder if those conversations between Nintendo and Xbox are just too hard to have now. And obviously there's Eon as well, who own the James Bond license and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. If you do an N64 pack and you don't have GoldenEye, that was like the PlayStation Mini not having Crash Bandicoot or Spyro or whatever. It's like there's some stuff that they need to do a bit better. Like, I don't feel like Switch Online is ingratiated into the average gamer the way that Game Pass is. And I don't know how they get there, really, unless they start doing third-party stuff.
Have you recommended it to anybody?
Not a soul, to be honest. No, whereas I do recommend Game Pass all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Like, it's like when someone asks, like, oh, what should I get? I default to, or I go to the Xbox side of things, because I think that the pricing of the console is really competitive and really good. And it's a great, like, you can just get the cheapest version of Game Pass and get tons of games every month. So if it's pure like bang for your buck, value for money, it's the Xbox. But in terms of a slate of exclusives, like, if you... As a slate of exclusives, would you recommend Switch's exclusive slate more than PlayStation's? Like,
well, the thing is, with Nintendo, you can get every Mario game on that system, bar Super Mario Galaxy 2.
Yes.
Because obviously, why not?
Even Galaxy 1, though, they've delisted because it was that timed thing.
Of course
thing.
They did, for God's sake.
So they can charge you for it again later.
It's funny how, like, there was that whole package. So what was it? 60 quid for 3 games.
Yep.
So 20, that means that £20 was for Mario 64, which is also on this service.
And they didn't even fix the camera.
And it's just the same. That's the thing with Nintendo. It makes you just sigh. But you're also just like, oh, it's but Nintendo.
We should pick that apart. What's that feeling where it's like, you're fully aware of what they're doing, but you're like, oh, you're doing it again. Like, oh, you're charging us insane amounts of money, taking full advantage and completely abusing your consumer base. But oh, you, Nintendo.
It's like an old relative saying something you shouldn't say anymore, isn't it? Like, no,
oh,
you stop.
Well, you'll get better someday, but we'll let you go for now because we loved you once. Like, it's just, it is the weird. weirdest relationship that I feel Nintendo fans have. And I feel like, especially in the modern era, and with a whole new generation growing up with it and sort of analyzing this stuff and talking to us, like if you talk to anyone who's younger, going like, why do you think this way? Why are you putting up with this? Why are you spending this money? Yeah. I feel like that's why Switch Online hasn't taken off like Game Pass. Like it's not value for money, like in the way the Game Pass is. And that's like something that they have to
Advertise the service like parents and stuff.
Not really. I mean, they have
who knows about this? My friends who have all got Switches don't know about the service at all.
No, well, the only thing that I feel has any real mainstream penetration, is Game Pass. Like, I feel like that's the thing that the average person has heard of.
Yeah.
Whereas Nintendo Switch Online, like, it's the thing you pay for to play Mario Kart Online.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, I don't know. I'd be curious if people feedback to us on Twitter and stuff, whether they got it to play NES, SNES, N64, or it was just the thing they had to pay for so they could keep playing something online.
Right,
okay. 'Cause even then, Mario Kart, for me, I would say, is the only online Switch game worth playing. Like, I can't think of
probably Smash Ultimate.
Yeah, Smash Ultimate, and I guess maybe Splatoon if you still want to play Splatoon. Like, I used to like love Splatoon and everything, but it's like it feels like I remember people saying when they announced this that like it felt like the Mario Kart monthly price.
Yeah.
Like you might as well have like its own service, make Mario Kart free to play, and go down that route.
It's weird them having two subscription services. Like obviously PlayStation's about to do it with their PS whatever. But like most people only know about the base one and nobody will care about that one until they advertise it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they advertise it, it gets a million dislikes.
Well, I guess I wonder if they kind of jumped the gun on it, but I feel like if you're Mr. Nintendo, you're sort of sitting going like, well, PlayStation now is being talked about more than ever because of Game Pass. Game Pass is a market leader. This is a whole wing of gaming that we need to get back in on. What can we cobble together? And it's like, well, NES, SNES, put them out. Yeah. And then, but like, you know, we mentioned Mario 64 before. Those were just the basic versions of those games. Like, they were in HD. Mario Galaxy, though, still has all the motion control stuff in there. You can play it handheld, but you've got to like trigger the touchpad to do all the mouse cursor stuff. It doesn't feel good. Like, it's not the version of that game that you would want.
It's just a gentle sigh, isn't it? It's just all I can offer from them.
But it's like the amount of love that we've had for them over decades now.
Yeah.
We don't pursue it in a way that people would pursue a third-party dev doing this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a general anger towards Ubisoft, Warner Brothers, Konami that Nintendo just kind of skirt on by. They're like Waluigi.
Do you think Nintendo do best when they fail?
Oh, in what way?
Because as I say, with the Wii U, it failed, so they put everything on it. They put the emulation and stuff on there for whatever price. And now that they're winning, they're just like, no.
Well, that's always, there's always like a hubris that comes with games companies, especially with like Sony or whatever, like the PS3.
Well, it's like Xbox lost the last, theoretically lost the last generation, and then Game Pass came along. Like, people deserve to lose to get better from them.
Oh, that's like the great like oscillation of business and creative.
Yeah.
It's like once the business mind starts to fail, all the business types go, so what new ideas have you got, guys? Because that's the actual value. And then, okay, we can mine the living hell out of that. And then they get too overtaken by the business stuff again. The circle of life, especially in the gaming space.
Uh-huh.
Speaking of things that they can get more money out of, the 4K Switch, I want to talk about that. Because every single thing, including reporting from Jason Schreier, that was back when he was at Kotaku, and then also corroborated at Bloomberg, and various other sites as well, Video Game Chronicle, whatever, all pointed to a 4K more higher powered Switch coming, which only turned into the OLED Switch. That was the weirdest reveal when we finally saw the trailer for it, and it was just new glass and a new screen.
It was a weird fart.
I mean, I bought it. I'm that guy. It's a very nice screen, but like at the same time, do you think that if they actually, one, do you think it's real, and two, do you think it's coming in 2023, and will you buy one?
Completely depends on the chip shortage, doesn't it?
Yes.
Will
do you think the specs are real though? Do you think it is in development? Because I do. I don't think all the factory reports
were wrong. Do Nintendo even know what 4K is? Like, they always just ignore that. It needs to be out because, as I've said before, like Link's Awakening plays so terribly on the normal Switch.
Yes.
I'd love a more powerful one also to get Breath of the Wild, 60 frames a second, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I fear that if they do 4K, they'll do it just for like what the Xbox One X did, where they only pushed for visually 4K, but not better frame rates half the time.
Right.
I'd prefer a better frame rate Switch over a better visual Switch.
We're at like an interesting point in terms of that stuff, because over the last couple of weeks, like the PS5 now has variable refresh rate, which is genius. Like it's brilliant. Genius isn't the word, but it's like magic. You go back to any old game that supports a variable frame rate. Spider-Man's obviously one of the main ones. But in Spidey, even on the fidelity mode, you can run that at like 50 to 60 FPS. With ray tracing, with everything else, and it's like, okay, this is what next gen should be. And obviously the Xbox, the Series X has had that for a while, and it'll just kick in automatically and up-res stuff. And one of the ways the reports were doing the rounds for the Switch Pro was that it would use, is it DLSS tech?
Mm-hmm.
Deep learning super sampling?
Yes.
To take those old games or take those games in general and upscale them and make it work. The whole just make it work thing, I think, is really valuable in gaming. The idea that your existing library just got automatically better. Like, I think that's something that they could, like, lead with. If they were like, it's a new Switch, it makes everything better that you already have, and it's spearheaded by new Breath of the Wild and, like, new Mario. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if there's a backlash brewing, because people will be like, you just announced the OLED Switch. Or did the average person not buy into the OLED Switch?
Well, that's what they did with the DS Lite. Because the DS Lite, I'm fairly certain, was like 2007. Mm-hmm. Then the DSi was 2009, which was a brand new system.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
It completely depends on what they call it. They'll call it the new Nintendo Switch.
They need to do the Super Nintendo Switch.
They won't call it's it right that. There. That makes too much sense. They'll be stupid about it. They'll call it Switch 2. No, Switch U.
Call it the Switchy, where it's got two eyes on the end of it. Just hybridized. Because I remember I was in school when the Wii name was announced, and everyone made all the obvious jokes and everything. Uh-huh. And it was just like, that's never going to catch on. What have you done, Nintendo? You're the GameCube lads. You need to be doing better. And then the Wii was the biggest thing in gaming history. So it's like, yeah, they've done these kind of things before.
But then Wii U.
Well, yeah, exactly. And then they would try to play that card twice. Jeez. And it didn't work at all.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you think the average person bought into the OLED Switch thing? I don't think they did. I think that was like a premium thing.
No, because the thing, the console that you'd get, your partner or whatever, was the Switch Lite.
Yes.
That's what that system was. I think that the OLED was just for you.
The Switch Lite is. The Switch Lite as well. It's really funny because, or it's really weird because the Switch Sports doesn't work on it.
It doesn't even play on it.
No, like one of the biggest things you've ever put out and it doesn't work because it needs motion controls.
It's the same with Ring Fit as well. Yes. How Switch Lite is very much for the casual gamer and the most casual game in the world is Ring Fit Adventure.
Or Switch Sports.
And they can't even play it. God. But Mario Party as well. Like we played that the other day. Mm-hmm. You couldn't play that on a, or can you?
We played a, I think you can play a handheld.
Just a one player.
I'm pretty sure you can. Yeah. But yeah, anything that requires motion controls, that was always a fine line for them to walk anyway. And it's especially because they've largely ditched all the HD Rumble stuff after they got out of 1-2 Switch and everything. But yeah, in terms of like the industry moving towards 4K resolutions or higher resolutions and, you know, better frame rates.
Here's a question for you. What do you prefer? Do you prefer a higher refresh rate or a higher resolution?
I go frame rates these days.
Yeah, exactly. Yes,
because it's just game feel.
Yeah, it just makes the game feel more modern and smoother.
I mean, I went back to the re-release of 3D Land with Bowser's Fury after playing a ton of 60 FPS stuff on the PS5 and on the Series X. That felt horrible. And I loved Bowser's Fury the first time through.
Yeah, because handheld, it was 30.
Just 30.
And then docked was 60.
Oh, did it actually go up to 60?
Yeah.
Okay, I think I must have just played the whole thing in handheld anyway.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, that's the thing. I feel like there's a quality of life shift towards 60 FPS as being the standard. Yeah. The same way that it was in the PS2 era. Like, we used to have 60. We dropped it to 30 to maintain all the different fidelity options and everything that came with 3D gaming or HD gaming. And then now it's like, no, game feel is paramount. I know some people like the 30 thing, and I was definitely used to be that guy. But I think once you've played enough 60 stuff and then you go to 30, it's like, oh my God, this is horrible. Mm-hmm. This is like, it's not unplayable.
Yeah.
But it's not demonstrably bad.
But that's what they need from the Switch Pro, in my opinion. Just a better, smoother experience for all of these games. And also a Joy-Con that doesn't drift, because I'm on my third now, and that is appalling.
There's a whole side of Nintendo that is just, they get away with too much.
Yeah.
Like, the Joy-Con stuff was ridiculous, and like, yeah, I had one that drifted as well, whether it be, we had the review unit when we had to review it back in 2017, that one drifted. I bought a new Switch, that one drifted. There's also, for me, there's always the thing with like the eShop, where like the eShop just feels like a prototype for an actual storefront. It just feels like it's barely like a browser plugin. Like, it just doesn't load very well. It feels like it errors out quite a lot, or it's really that when you go on one of those big deal lists, it gets all laggy because it can't load that many games at once. And it's just things like that where I'm like, this is the bare minimum that you could have done. And you're Nintendo. Like, how is this not?
It's because it doesn't have the Wii Shop music, Scott. That's why.
Oh, why did they not do a follow up to the Wii Shop music? The other day, I was listening. Funny enough, I was listening to a Sonic thing, and I listened to. I think I sent you it. It was like this, like sort of dance drop bass remix of Green Hill Zone, and I went on the artist, and they'd also done a dance bass drop remix of the Wii Shop music, and it was the most glorious thing I'd ever heard. And I was like, why is this not being made better? Like, even if you bring that theme back or something, like this, the most memorable music or audible component of the eShop is that weird loading thing that goes back and forward when it tries to first load up, and it goes.
Oh yeah, the orange screen. Yeah,
that's it. That's all we ever got. Like, there's so much more they could do.
But there's no personality on that Switch, though, is it? Like, the home screen is boring as whatever.
Not even any themes. Why can't I put a theme on it?
Gray or white.
Like, let me set a screenshot as the background or something.
Yeah. Whereas the Wii, it looked like TV channels. Mm. It was quite cool. Wii U looked like whatever Wii U looked like, glass, I think it was.
I say it's weird because I'm like, they're flying so high. And like, the Switch is like the second most popular console. Depends on region, but like overall, it's either the most popular console or it's second to the PS5. Depends on the region. And they're flying. And it's like, everyone knows what the Switch is. Like, everyone and their granny's got one. And they're making all these really cool games that go with it, whether it's brain training or the Switch sports stuff. But the actual like user interface and the actual like quality of life, it doesn't scream, we are Nintendo, like, you know, globally opulent company. It screams like, this is the first thing we tried after the Wii U, and we've kind of just ran with it for a bit.
Here's where the Pro comes out, and that's where the wallpapers are.
Well, that's what I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels like that's the actual sequel
that's
console.
What they did with the new Nintendo 3DS. I'm
yes, which
certain,
really annoyed me.
Yeah, there was only themes that you could get on the new one.
Yes. And well, the thing with the new 3DS was like, that was when you could play SNES stuff.
Yeah,
and it was like,
world,
and I was like, what, you can't run Super Metroid on an original 3DS? Like, that was so insulting. Yeah. But I was like, oh, it's Nintendo, you've got to get the new one.
Yeah.
There's all that stuff. Let's pivot into stuff that they've got for the rest of this year, because I opened the whole podcast saying that they don't have that much for this year. And we sort of just like skimmed a few things off the top. If you go off the most anticipated list, or you look at Google traffic or whatever, you know, there is Splatoon 3. I think that Splatoon's in an interesting position, because for me, did you say you didn't play Splatoon 2?
I played one.
Okay, so for me, 2 was such a massive step up, and I felt like that was like a great like way for them to do a third-person shooter or an arena shooter or whatever. That's like, that's their Call of Duty in the broadest sense. And it just played so well. So I kind of hope that Splatoon 3 does take off. But like you said, there was all those dislikes around the added DLC from Splatoon 2. So I wonder how much the average person is like, oh my God, Splatoon. Like, they were comfortable switching them around and putting Xenoblade or Xenogears out instead. And so I'm a huge Splatoon fan, but the fact that you're not points to maybe
I
that.
I wouldn't say I'm not. I've just...
Oh, that you didn't get around to it, I guess.
Yeah. What they should have done, just sorry, going back to Nintendo Switch Online.
Yes.
They should have just put 2 on that service.
Yeah.
To make people be like, oh, this is what this game is.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. That's
but no. I've got the DLC, Scott.
Well, that's the thing. But they don't do, like, they are so indebted to Nintendo pricing. Everyone always talks about Nintendo tax. Like, it's the whole added amount of money that they'll put on their premium quality games, whatever, the whole Nintendo seal of quality, like the remnants of that, that you'll get charged full price for everything at all times. And I guess they're up against that with the monthly service stuff. Because the second they pull the trigger on, you know, you pay a monthly amount and you get Mario Odyssey or you get Mario Kart, or you get Splatoon, that then becomes one of the best deals in gaming in terms of the games that you're getting, but then they can't then sell the unit cost anymore. So I get like that's their weird back and forth with it.
PlayStation are in that same situation with theirs because they're not putting first parties.
Well, they've been such a song and dance about like £70 games, and we think it's the right price point. And then Game Pass was like, well, we're just putting the one here.
But
you're always right though that like
the games are just lower quality now because of that.
Like no Xbox exclusive for the last few years since. I don't even know when has been
knocked it out of the park.
Nowhere near a Last of Us or a Uncharted or whatever.
It makes you wonder what they're going to do with Splatoon 2 money wise then. Mm. Is that going to still be £60 and then 3 is going to be £60 as well?
Maybe. I guess they'll do one of those stupid deal things where it's like, oh, we got 50% off, guys. And it's like, 50% off the original RRP, which is like 70 English pounds. So it's like, it's barely down.
Yeah.
Anyway, but Splatoon 3, I think, is an interesting proposition for the Switch. I love what Splatoon brings to the table. I think it feels so good. And if anyone hasn't played Splatoon 2 because they weren't massive on 1, I would massively encourage you to go check out 2.
Yeah.
We've also got Mario Strikers Battle League, which we were saying before recording. There's not been a Mario Strikers game in like 15 years.
2007, yes.
2007. So it's like, where are you at on Mario Strikers?
It's a weird series, that one, because I played the original GameCube one, and then it came out on the Wii. Great games, but then FIFA came about, and I was just like, FIFA exists on it.
Because where are you at on Mario sports stuff? Like you mentioned before recording, like obviously there's Mario Golf, there's Mario Aces. Like, did you get those, or what do you think of them?
I didn't get those, but I've been playing Mario Tennis on the Nintendo 64, and that's a game.
That's such a good game.
The thing is, like, Mario has cemented himself in all the sports genres, so if a parent's going to be like, just throw him that FIFA game, it's for Mario, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's enticing. It looks interesting, but it's still going to be not Mario Odyssey 2, and I want that. I want that
okay,
more.
Okay, we should talk about, like, general, what do they do next for Mario? Because do you think they do another, like, because obviously Cappy is potentially in the same bracket as, like, Flood or whatever. It's like, it's Mario, but with an extra thing. Do you think they do something else like that? Do they keep all the open world stuff? Because, like, Bowser's Fury felt like an Odyssey-style Mario game. And is that just the future now? Because Nintendo are now doing open world stuff with their franchise.
Turns out we're going to make a Mario movie game. Chris Pratt is the voice.
Will there be a Chris Pratt skin in the next Mario?
Just his face, Mario.
Yeah, sort of like MODOK, just sort of stretched across like a weird egg shape.
Yeah,
gosh. It would work.
Yeah,
I would take a Chris Pratt voice pack.
Would you?
Yeah, just for the absolute banter of that, what he could try and make work in a video game space.
I'm excited for that movie so much. I just want to hear Sonic Charlie works. Day. I just want to hear Charlie Day as Luigi. That's all I want to hear.
Of all them, it's Jack Black's Bowser for me.
Yeah.
I need to know what the hell that is.
Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong.
Seth Rogen, yeah.
That's the one.
That fan edit of him just laughing with the original blocky as hell animation from the 90s, like, just give me that.
Anya Taylor-Joy is Peach, not saying a single word, I assume.
No, but hopefully brandishing a shotgun, if she's going to be the Mario and Rabbids version. That's the one that I want, with an umbrella shield, or whatever she can make work. Mario's in an interesting position because of Odyssey, but
yeah, so Odyssey 2, I feel like, whatever the sequel to the next Mario game is, I think it has to be, in my opinion, Mario Odyssey 2.
Right.
Because why wouldn't they? The systems are there,
and that was
such a good... It was the best Mario's felt in a long time.
True.
It was outstanding, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Why not just do a second one? And then, in 10 years' time, forget about it, like they did with Mario Galaxy 2. There you go. That's the Nintendo way.
Maybe they take Mario Odyssey, the Cappy stuff, those kind of mechanics, the moons, and do Galaxy 3 style setup, where you've got the smaller planets, more biome diversity. And because my only thing with Odyssey, and as much as it's an immaculate game, is that parts of it feel really unfinished. Like if you line up all those realms, all those levels, there are some that just barely feel like anything.
The dragon one.
Yeah. And there's a couple of others that just sort of barely feel like anything, whereas there are other worlds that you can spend hours in doing everything. So I hope that's why they're taking so long with it, to polish that stuff out.
Yeah. Give Rosalina a reason to be back.
Just let me play as Rosalina,
to be honest. Rosalina's the best Mario.
Just give
character.
Me a Rosalina game. I don't know why. Can he control the do the Lumas?
Just being, yeah.
Give me all the Lumas, Pokemon style. I'll take care of them.
Yeah.
I'll put them in a garden. Yeah.
No, that won't happen because no. Because Rosalina that's too good. And Waluigi need their own game. That's what they need at this point.
Waluigi needs some sort of like bank heist simulator where he can like prance around with a bag, with a sack with a dollar sign on the side of it. That feels like the end of his character arc. Next game, though, is Metroid Prime 4. Is this game even real?
No,
is this
that'll never come out. No.
Is this never
it just won't. What's the point?
Well, they restarted development, it feels like a lifetime ago now, because it was before COVID.
Yeah.
And then we're still waiting for any meaningful update on Prime 4.
Who is that making it? Retro Studios?
Right, went back to Retro, yeah.
Okay.
So, like, but the thing is, over the years, there's been mention of a Metroid Prime Trilogy HD collection that was ready to go, according to these various leaks. And they, once Metroid Prime 4 restarted development, they didn't put the Prime Trilogy out. So, like, because I feel like they need that to remind the world of what Prime is. Like, there's an entire generation of people who have no idea what the Prime series is.
Other M, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, other than Dread, like in terms of like the 3D stuff.
Like that kind of 3D shooting Metroid.
Yes. Oh, yeah, totally.
So
yeah.
For the past, 12 years, it's only been 2D Metroids.
Pretty much. Well, but even then, it was handheld ones, like it was Samus Returns.
Yeah, those 2.5D.
But then I saw Metroid Dread was like had the highest sales of any Metroid ever. Yeah. So it's like there is a hunger for it. And like that Dread is like maybe my favorite Metroid game. It's right up there with Super. Like, I think it's great. But yeah, obviously, Prime play completely differently. I think they need to do something to remind people that that's what that series is.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time when it first drops, I was an Xbox kid back then, so I was like, oh, look at it trying to be Halo, and it's like that's not what that is at all. It's such a different thing. But yeah, where are you at on the Prime series?
I would very much like for it to come out, because Nintendo don't have a first person shooter right now, do they?
Not really, not anything really.
Exactly. So not some anything at all.
That weird cardboard gun thing, if you buy Labo, you can shoot on that. You get you're an elephant with
that's just a PTSD moment, that.
Shooting out your nose trying to do that. Why not?
Cheers for that, Scott. Yeah, no, it needs to come out. But I love Retro Studios as just a studio in general, because their Donkey Kong games were outstanding.
Yes.
Just brilliant stuff.
Donkey Kong's another one to talk about in terms of, like, not pie in the sky, because it is, in theory, coming according to reports, but Donkey Kong is the next character to get the Kirby 3D, the Mario 3D treatment, and do, like, an open-world-style Donkey Kong. But I think it'll be more like what Kirby was.
Did they not say that was done by the Odyssey team?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, because Donkey Kong 64, and I never picked this up, but now that I'm looking at screenshots of it, it's exactly what I wanted to be.
Oh, was it now, Scott? It's the was thing it now?
Yeah. That I never knew about. It? Yeah. Apparently it's a full 3D thing, and there's no way that I paused this podcast and looked at it, but you just carry on with your life. But that seems like something that they could absolutely do more of. And for whatever reason, I don't know how I missed that. I've played all the Donkey Kongs.
Yeah.
But I guess I didn't have an N64 until 2 years ago.
It was just another Banjo-Kazooie.
Yeah, just do that. Let me throw barrels.
I'm fairly certain at the beginning of that there is a rap where Donkey Kong raps.
I've heard about this rap.
Yes.
I think there's something on the credits as well.
Yes, that might be the rap.
Maybe it's that.
But yeah, so bring back Mario Donkey Kong 64, but a new one, Donkey Kong Odyssey.
Yeah.
Make him throw hats at people.
He throws bananas. Ties. He throws ties.
He throws ties.
Or he acquires an entire set of ties that let him do different abilities.
That some would be cool.
Mech tie. Let him become some sort of mech man.
Yeah, I want him to be like Kirby and just swallow folk.
It's way more monstrous if he's swallowing folk, because he's got a smaller mouth. Anyway, speaking of smaller mouths, Bayonetta 3 is something that has been sort of finally revealed after, I forgot what you call the dude that made Bayonetta now, but he was the one just saying, not necessarily confirming if it was real, just saying, look, if it's real, if it turns up, it'll be a nice surprise. And then it was at the following Nintendo Direct. So Bayonetta feels like something that should be massively top tier, but it's taken so long it's kind of just, it's over there now.
Platinum Studios always get the weirdest rap, don't they? Because they make, can you remember that Wonderful 101?
Yes.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
That was a great game.
But the whole thing with Platinum is that the amount of things that they, like I was going to say, got completely wrong. Babylon's Fall is an absolute mess. But they had that whole phase of their career where they were just taking on contract work, where they did the TMNT game and the Transformers game. Yep. I'm sure there was something else in there as well. But they also did like Metal Gear Rising, Revengeance, which is one of the best action games ever made. And the Bayonetta games are obviously very inventive and everything. It's just weird that Bayonetta 2 is now 8 years old, I believe.
Was Bayonetta 2 exclusive to the Wii U?
Initially,
and then it was ported to everything else and that failed, yeah.
Well, Bayonetta 2 has only ever been Nintendo systems, because it was on it's on the Switch re-release, the HD one.
Okay.
But it's like, yeah, that's, it's just one of those things that it feels like it's been forever since a Bayonetta. But at the same time, it was always one of the best Platinum games ever. So assuming that can return in style. Still penciled in for this year, but I guess we'll wait and see.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Same. And the last thing I had down was just the Mario and Rabbids follow-up, which I loved that first game. I don't know if you like
grid-based. I adored
strategy stuff.
Well, I don't care for that genre. I liked that game.
Okay.
Because the composer, Grant Kirkhope, is one of the best people ever.
That man, there are few brass-fueled soundtrack men that I like more than Grant Kirkhope.
Can I tell you a quick little side note?
Yeah. Do you know him?
At university, I interviewed, he was in a band called Maniacs in the 80s, and I interviewed his guitar player.
That's cool.
And I was like, tell me more about Grant. I felt really bad for this guy.
How was Grant?
You know, he's all right.
He's all right?
He's chilling. But no, he did the Mario Rabbids, and that is an outstanding soundtrack.
Yeah, absolutely, there's so much personality to it. The thing with the Mario and Rabbids, especially when you're there's a boss fight against like a rabid Donkey Kong. What's the one, the boss fight where they just take the mick out of Mario? Is it the opera boss? And it's like he looks at the Go Compare man. He's got the little swizzly thing, and he's just having a go at Mario, always being after Peach. She doesn't want anything to do with you, Mario. And she's I love the way that thing's written. I think if that personality comes through, then that'll be really cool.
Yeah.
None of the ones that we're mentioning, though, besides maybe Metroid and Bayonetta, are really going to be like huge top tier things. Like the
probably Pokemon.
Next Pokemon, you got Violet and Sapphire.
Yeah.
But like, Pokemon's in a weird space because Arceus did really well. Uh-huh. And then they immediately announced the next one, and people just kind of went, "Okay, you're gonna double dip." Like, this is what Ubisoft used to do.
Yeah.
When they did Rogue and Unity in the same year, and that was too much. Like, that's the thing. If it was any third party dev, we'd be all over them.
If it was Insomniac in charge of Pokemon, I'd adore it.
Right.
It's Game Freak and the Pokemon Company, and in my opinion, they're just not a good developer.
Really.
No, what was the last good other than Arceus?
Even that's barely finished.
Exactly, like, they just fart the games out and then kids buy it.
I'd be curious though how much that's Game Freak and how much that's Nintendo, like because it's Game Freak stuff. Pokemon Arceus feels like a tech demo. Like it feels like it's really close to being finished. And I love it; it's one of my games of the year. But it feels like it needed like another half a year in development.
Yeah.
That half a year will go to Sapphire and Violet or whatever, and it feels like that'll have the landscapes, the texture detail that Arceus should have had. And it's just like, I feel like Nintendo are just going like, okay, you can sever that project here and release that and then keep developing and then release that and then keep developing and release that. Like,
I feel like Pokemon are limited by the anime.
Mm.
Like, I feel like that is a very set in stone release, the anime.
Mm-hmm.
So the games have to match the anime.
Yeah. And obviously the turnarounds are like ridiculous. Yeah, and if that's
once every, 2 years is a new one? I don't know. I don't
Something
watch
like
the
that.
Show. But like, that means it's a 2 year development cycle for the game.
Mm-hmm. But even then, I mean, like, Pokemon games have been releasing at a steady clip all from Game Freak for 20 plus years, like 25 years now. Yeah. And it feels like, with something like that, I already feel like I know what the next Pokemon's going to be. I know it's more in the Arceus vibe or the overall model, but like the re-releases of Diamond and Pearl, I feel like that was one of the first times people just went, ugh. Like, it's more of that. Like, we know exactly what this is at this point.
When was the last time you enjoyed one over the Arceus?
In terms of finishing, I have no idea because I didn't finish Sword and Shield. I like I liked Sword and Shield as a presentation. I like the arena battles. I quite like the Gigamax stuff and all the giant kaiju fights. I thought the music was great. Mm-hmm. I think it was by Toby Fox, the Undertale guy.
Okay.
And I found that out like way later. But like, I like the presentation of Sword and Shield. But like, mine would be Let's Go. It would just be Let's Go Pikachu.
Yeah.
But then that was obviously a remake of the original. But I mean, I play Pokemon Go all the time, so it was like Pokemon Go infused regular Pokemon. That totally worked for me. I know why some people were just like, "This is heathenness," but it totally worked for me. How about you?
See, the last time I enjoyed Pokemon was Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Because
I adored Gold and Silver.
Right.
My main one was Ruby and Sapphire, the Gen 3.
Mm-hmm.
But that was what, 2003?
It's a while.
20 years ago, I was playing that. But then when it got to the DS and it started to get more 3D, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, these are good developers because they're showing that they can push the DS as far as it can go.
Mm-hmm.
But the games that are out now on the Switch are just DS games on a TV.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
they're not given the time to actually like develop it properly. Like Breath of the Wild, you can tell has been given the time, like in Zelda as an IP. But Pokemon, they just seem to just.
But why would they need the time? Because they can just get money.
Well, they keep, that's the thing. They
keep
making
more
money
than Breath of the Wild did.
Yeah.
By not doing any development.
Well, that was the thing that eventually stopped Ubisoft with Assassin's Creed, was that everyone boycotted Rogue and Unity. And it was Unity was broken as hell anyway, but it just proved to everyone that they were doing it too fast. Arceus is the closest a Pokemon game's got to looking unfinished. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved Arceus' new gameplay system. I think it plays really, really well. But one look at it and you can tell it's the textures aren't there, the quality's not there at all.
But their audience of 5-year-olds aren't going to boycott a company, are they?
Like, I guess we'll find out.
I'm not going to get my mum as a 5-year-old to boycott Nintendo, am
I? No, ring Nintendo, mum. Tell them they can't keep doing this to me. It's they've got away with it for too long. But yeah, overall, Nintendo continue to be their own little island. They're a fascinating company. I think the negatives are always worth pointing out. It is just interesting how much they get away with and how much they continue to get away with. But we'll wait and see what their plans are for the rest of the year. All it takes is a random Nintendo Direct and you've got an E3 level thing, because they drop that stuff all the time.
A Direct will come out and I'm like, no.
Oh, you.
You goose.
More Labo stuff. More cappy things.
Why'd you say that?
I know. We'll see what happens. And I love the Labo. It was a good time.
I'm sure you
I can fish in my living room. Anyway, it's been the World Culture Gaming Podcast. I've been your host, Scott Taylor, joined by James Dowse.
Thank you very much.
And we'll catch you next time.
Peace. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.